And we're going to visit now about corn in South Dakota with channel agronomist John Godin, just outside of Gregory, South Dakota, this day. How you doing, John?
Yeah, doing well, Mick. Thank you.
You're welcome. Checking on those channel plots down there. How are they looking?
Pretty good. We're just walking into one here that caught a little hail, but had a really nice year from an emergence standpoint. Things have come up really even. And for the most part, we've had the right amount of moisture. In some cases, we've had just a little bit too much in small areas and a little bit too little in other areas. So typical spring when it comes to moisture, but I will tell you that this has been one of the most even emergence years we've seen in a while.
Yeah, and I guess the farmers ought to capitalize on that, take good care of this even, because a lot of it was planted. Guys were concerned about being a little late, but man, they got into very warm topsoil, and not only was there even emergence, they were shooting out of the ground in just a couple of days, weren't they?
Exactly right. Yeah, both corn and soybean emergence has been great. But to your point earlier, we really didn't get started planting in South Dakota till the first week in May for the most part. There was very little corn planted in April in South Dakota. So, the warm soils have definitely helped us with this. But if you remember last year, Mick, we were dealing with a very cold, wet, saturated second half of May, and followed by similar weather pattern this year. We had pretty much that blast furnace kicked up. We were well into the hundreds in some places, definitely high 90s, and for the first couple weeks. And now we've had a week of, I should say the first week, and now we've had a week of kind of a little break. And now we're heading into weekend where it looks like, this corn's sitting about a foot and a half tall. It looks like we could double the size of this corn here in the next week with 3 days of 95-plus temperatures and high humidity.
All right. That's our topic of discussion today, John. What are the repercussions involved with corn growing very quickly?
Well, there's a couple of them, I guess. One of the things is it's hard for corn that grows that fast to get all the nutrients in place that it needs. Sometimes you'll see some yellow flashing, particularly on the new growth, those new leaves unfurling, and that'll last temporarily until the plant can really kind of get caught up and get the nutrients where they need to be, and the chlorophyll starts really turning that plant green again. Probably the biggest issue, though, that's really a non-issue. Most corn's going to come out of that very quickly, and it's not going to affect development, but bigger issue we deal with, and I know you guys have wind in North Dakota as well, is the wind during periods of rapid growth like that. A green snap, real snap, whatever you'd like to call it, can be an issue, and it's something we're going to have to watch out for. It sounds like we may have some weather coming in on the backside of this heat spell on Sunday, a cold front coming through, and you start getting winds above 50 and 60 miles an hour, and the cell walls really aren't firmed up on that corn that's just about doubled in size in a short amount of time. That's kind of a risk that farmers have right now coming up into a weekend like this.
Yeah, we usually talk or worry about green snap when the corn is real tall and heavy and we get a wind after Labor Day, but there's already a concern this year, huh?
Yes, it is. And, of course, to your point, it depends on how big the corn is. Once you get past that 2.5-3 foot tall point, that's big enough to catch some wind. Also depends on the plant architecture. The wider the leaf, the more wind that's going to stop and actually have a greater chance, perhaps, of green snapping. The other thing is genetics. I mean, we rate our hybrids, and as every other company does, rate our hybrids based upon their ability to handle green snap. But I will tell you, there's some genetics that are prone to it, but there's other genetics not really prone to it. But if you hit them at the right time, during that phase when corn is trying to really almost, like I say, double in size in a short amount of time, you've got plenty of moisture, you've got plenty of heat, and again, the plant hasn't put everything in place to strengthen the cell walls on those stalks, you can have green snap in any hybrid, any genetics when you're dealing with that kind of situation.
All right. Visiting with John Godin. He's a channel seed agronomist down there in the Gregory, South Dakota area today. With heat and humidity, do we have any fungal disease issues that we ought to be aware of or be scouting for?
Yeah, they're going to be starting. The leaf leaves right now have been pretty clean, but we've, like you, to your point, we've had plenty of moisture, plenty of heat to drive it. Some of the fungal diseases do like higher temperatures and humidity. Some of them like a little cooler temperature. So, you know, it will depend upon the pathogen. But some of the things that we need to be looking out for, maybe on the I-29 corridor, we're going to be looking for is a gray leaf spot, some northern corn leaf blight. In addition to that, I mentioned hail earlier. We do have had quite a few high wind storms already. We had one, actually a couple of storms in the last 2 weeks, 60-mile-an-hour winds and a lot of debris blowing that have caused some wounding on some of this corn. So we could see gosses come in, and hopefully it doesn't affect or doesn't come in and greatly affect the plant prior to reproductive stage. For the most part, in our country, we see gosses come in after reproduction. It tends not to be a huge yield robber, but again, you kind of have to go to the genetics that you're buying and look at the ratings for gosses. If you know you're going to be in a situation where you're corn on corn or irrigated cornfields, that's where you're really going to be dealing with it more. As far as disease east to west, you really see more gosses in the west. That tends to be a disease that doesn't necessarily need a lot of moisture, like in the east, to drive some of those leaf diseases like gray leaf spot or northern corn leaf blight. But you can see gosses in the east as well. We just don't see as big a prevalence in that I-29 corridor compared to, like, say, out to the 281 area and west of there.
Sure. All right, John Godin, Channel Seed Agronomist, based out of Iowa in South Dakota today, talking about those corn diseases that we blame on Nebraska. So anyway, dang, and they blow up on the south winds, and I would assume they are going to find their way into a corn plant on some of the debris kicked up by the wind, you know, creating a little damage spot on the corn plant.
That's exactly right. Any wound, and it can be just as little as wind or debris flying in the wind or, you know, just flat out hail causing it. Any entry point like that is a place for disease to jump in and try and take control or take advantage of that plant. And, you know, let's say later in the season, earlier in the season, the disease gets in there. The plant is able to fight a lot of these diseases off until it hits another stress. And it's kind of like, you know, us when we're sick, we hit a major stress. That's when really things inside us can take advantage of that. And that's what these pathogens do. You know, the fungal and bacterial diseases will go ahead and take advantage of those plants under stress. Let's say we end up with a pretty good dry spell and hot dry spell later in the season. That's when you can start to see some of these diseases expressed, particularly stalk diseases and ear diseases tend to be kind of expressed as well later in the season. But the leaf diseases are the ones that are important early, and those are the ones we're going to be watching for to make sure that we end up with good yields. You need those solar collectors out there, those leaves turning sun into sugar and putting it on into kernels on those cobs, and the leaves are the important part of that apparatus on a corn plant.
All right, John Godin, Channel Seed Agronomist, thank you so much for some great information. I guess I better give you an opportunity to tell guys how they can get more info on Channel.
Certainly. You can follow Channel South Dakota on @channel_SD. We do have a good Twitter feed with a lot of good topics on agronomy, timely topics on agronomy, and also some of the products we're looking at in the plots, the newer products. And also at channel.com, we have our current lineup as far as products, our new products, and when you see our Channel Seedsmen out there, stop in and talk to them. We've got a lot of new products we're looking at in plots, and we've got a lot of data on some of the stuff that we've put out there over the last few years. This year in South Dakota, we'll have in excess of 30 corn large-scale plots. They're called FTN, spatial data plots, and then 20 soybean spatial data plots. So we don't have just the pretty plots in the corner. We've got some pretty good in-depth data to be able to go help our farmers place the products on their farm correctly.
Knowledge is power. So thank you very much, John, for that. Hey, have a great weekend. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, you as well, Mick. Happy Father's Day to you and everyone out there, okay?
All right, we'll do it. Thank you.